You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moyer Tzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
Halachmanya. So there's a lot written on this first paragraph. Halachmanya, I have it in front of you. Halachmanya. The Achalo Avasar of Arlev and Stram, Kodich Ben Yesev Yechol, Kodisrach Yesev Yivsach, Hashata Abdi Lashon Habab Neyechor, and Hashata Hachal Lashon Habab Arlev Yisrael. I think that's the order. I wrote it by heart, but it sounds correct. So there's a lot written on every part of this, and we're going to discuss it for a few minutes now. Ha, I was just thinking on the way here, the word ha is mentioned one time in the Torah. There's one time in the Torah where the word ha, hey Aleph, is used. Anybody know where? One place in the Torah. Hey Aleph. And I said, we probably would have to look at that place to try to get a sense of what it is that's happening here. So where's the one place? So Yosef, when he tells the people of Mitzrayim that he's going to give them seeds so that they can plant, he says, "Hey lochem zera, hey lochem zera." This is what I was thinking about. So I remember we talked about that maybe a year or two ago in Hashkamash here, right? And we said that the letter hey and the word hey, and in this pasuk specifically shows us that it always means the present moment. We want to discuss the future. We use the word yud, the letter yud. You know, yibaneh, it will be built, right? When you want to talk about the future, we always use the letter yud. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us Olam Hazra is Nivra Behei, and Olam Haba is Nivra Beyud. Olam Haba is the Bederach Machshava, it's the future, right? But the hey represents the present moment. So I was just thinking that as we begin the Haggadah, we know that one of the charges that we have is Chayiv Adam, Liros es Atzmo, Kiruhu Atzmo, Yotza, right? Or Laharos es Atzmo, Kiruhu Atzmo, Atta, the Rambam adds the Lashon Atta, Yotza, and Yisraim, that there has to be a present moment feeling at the time of the Haggadah. So the first word in which we start the Haggadah is right now. This is not about something that took place years back. It's not about something that's going to take place. It's not about some future event. It's about us re-experiencing what it is that Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to mean, what it's supposed to mean to us, and what it meant to them. And we're supposed to bridge that gap by putting ourselves in Mitzrayim, and then feeling and experiencing the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we begin the Haggadah with that word hey, which represents the present moment. Hey lochem zera, right now, the present moment. Olam hazeh. So there is a lot written, as you know, on why this first paragraph is written in Aramaic. Halach ma'anya de'achal v'sar v'ardim instram kol dich ben yesev v'yechol de'abrabanel has a long arichas. Everybody and their uncle has another reason why it's written in Aramaic. The most poshut reason, of course. What's the most simple reason? It's because that's the language they understood. Of course, the whole Haggadah is in Lashon Kodesh. It's just this first sentence that's in Aramaic. But You know, but still, it's something that the people understood, and therefore when it was written, it was written. So they wrote in Aramaic so that the Olam should be able to understand. Also, Kol Dichman Yesev Yechol, everybody asks the same question. It's not the right time to be inviting people. The right time to be inviting people is in shul, or maybe put it something on teenek shuls, you know, put the Kol Kori out that you have room at your Seder table. I mean, there's no one, as far as I remember in my life, that because we said Kol Dichman Yesev Yechol, there were knocks on the door. And they started to, you know, blew the whistle and 20 people showed up. It's not what happened. So what's the Kol Dichman Yesev Yechol being said right now at the Seder? Kol Dichman Yesev Yechol. It's also interesting that the Halach Ma'anya, of course, refers to what? To the Matzah, right? Halach Ma'anya, the Achalo Avasar of Arda Mitzrayim, that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim. The truth is that we're really celebrating the Matzah that we ate when we left Mitzrayim. Not the Matzah we ate when we were in Mitzrayim. So the whole first paragraph is a little bit funny. So there's different drachim. Let's learn a new derech. There is a sefer called the Maaseh Hashem. Maaseh Hashem was written by a gadol. It was known as Rabbi Elazar Ashkenazi, Rabbi Elazar HaRofe. And he asked this question, as you'll see inside. Well, anach nira lo seitam nachon. El masadar ha'agadol shenikra lach ma'anya v'lam masidr v'loshen arami. First of all, why does he mention it in Lashon Arami? The Gam Devar, it's clear, if you look at the Rambam, and you look at the Nuschoi HaGadah, the Nuschos of the different Haggadahs, it's clear that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did not have this. Right? The Gam Devar, Lama Kol Berak Zer Rishon, Lohi Om B'Zman HaMikdash HaYikayim, with Odir Shematzah Yilech Amoni. For an Esprabat V'Ram HaSuch HaGadah, B'Zman Beis HaMikdash, Lohi Om Berak Zer. The Rambam writes that they didn't say this Lashon, this Parak, this paragraph, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it being added later? I guess the Beis HaMikdash, and so they spoke Lashon Kodesh. It was only when they were, when they were exiled. So then they picked up a new language. They had to say it in a new language. It's going to say something much, much deeper, much deeper. Before we answer that question, why it's written in Aramaic, why we didn't say the paragraph and what it means. What it means, Kol Dichman Yesev Yechol at the Seder.
Wasn't that written by Sheni either?
Huh? That's where we're going. It says something very, very tremendous. It says as follows. V'nomar, ki enachol nomar b'perek zehu k'asher golu b'bayisheni chag Pesach rishon sh'ayisham b'lel Pesach. Ratzal l'kai mitzvah sifur, he says, the first time, listen to this, the first time they said this paragraph, is when they went into Golos, the Bayisheni, and they had that first Pesach to celebrate, right? It was Churban Bayis. Churban Bayis Rishon. It was after a Churban, right? And they had to celebrate that first Pesach. They had to become the mitzvahs. And they're sitting there in Golos, away from Eretz Yisrael, away from the Beis HaMikdash, away from the Churban Pesach, away from the Kohen Gadol, and they basically have nothing. And they start to mourn. They start to wail. And they say as follows, Ha lachma anya. Can we really, it's almost like a question, can we really sit down to a meal that's supposed to represent chayrus, that's supposed to represent freedom? I mean, we're slaves. We're now slaves. So the Maaseh Hashem explains that the Lashon means as follows, Holach ma'anya, this is not the bread that we're eating now. This matzah is not the matzah that the Jews ate when they left Mitzrayim. This is the matzah of Avdus. We're sitting now in a state of Avdus. This is the bread that the Jews ate when they were in Mitzrayim. That's the first time they're in Galus and they start their Haggadah starts with Holach ma'anya, their Chavos HaBrit. We're sitting as Avadim here. How are we supposed to celebrate Pesach in Golos? Is it really possible to celebrate Pesach in Golos when we're mamash avodim? When you're Ben Chorin, you can imagine what it's like to be an Eved. But now when you're an Eved, you have to try to imagine what it's like to be a Ben Chorin. It's a dream. When you're Ben Chorin, you can remember the time. It's just mamash a dream. V'nomer ki anocholom perek zeh hu shakasher golom v'ayusheni chak Pesach v'shon shayusham v'lel Pesach v'rotza l'kai mitzvah sifur Yisrayim. The Yeshloshom, they sat down. Zachru es Tzion, Sheshamim b'Tzion, how you miscarven Hashchen v'Avim. Everybody used to gather together, and they used to be invited for the Karban Pesach. You know the halach is by Karban Pesach. If you're not invited, If you're not part of the minoy, if you're not part of the group, you can't come. So the Jews are sitting there saying, nowadays, we don't have a carbon Pesach, anybody can come. Now, it's not really an invite. It's part of the avelus. Can you imagine? We're not going to end like this. You know, we're always going to end positive, so don't get nervous. But this is what the Maaseh Hashem says. There's no carbon Pesach, and they have to eat a kezayis matzah, shmura, lezecher carbon Pesach. That's all we got. And people aren't gathering together; they're sitting alone. Avodim golam yatzim hitchilu b'mekonim al tzion lekayim hashenemar imlo ala es Yerushalayim. V'yamo sadas mezos b'rosh halachma. The first thing they say is halachma. He has to do b'klol nikras lechem. They mean halachma doesn't just mean the bread. Doesn't mean the matzah, it means the entire suda. It's not what it's supposed to be. This is not what it's supposed to be. And they start to mourn. Like we did in Eretz Yisrael. It was mamish when they were slaves in Egypt. So they started to mourn. And then, the reason they're saying it in Aramaic is to highlight that this is not really the Ikar Haggadah, the Avelus that we begin with, the memories, the imaginations of what it was like in Israel, Al Naros Bavel, right? So that's not part of the Haggadah. So they say it in a different language. It's to cut it off to show that it's different than the Nusuch of the Haggadah, which begins in Lashon Kodesh. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechel again is a way of saying, look where we are. Now anybody can come, as opposed to when it was like when there was a Karban Pesach, when you had to be part of a specific group. And then they give a prayer, Hashat Av, the Shema B'nei Choren, but that's all in the future. What about right now with Mamash Avodin? Okay. A little bit depressing to start the Haggadah that way, right? Listen to this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's he famous for? Hare Ani? Kibbeh Shem Mishonah. Velozo Chisi Shetei Amer? Yes, Mitzrayim, Balelos, Ad Shedrasha, Ben Zoma. And now, Marla Mantis Kor Sam says, "Come Sam Koy Mechayera, Mechayera Hayamim Koy Mechala Halelos." That's Ben Zoma. Chob Omrim, Mechayera Olam Azel Koy Mechala Havi Lebos Hamashiach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes off and he says, "I'm 70 years old." How old was he really? 18. 18. He was 18 years old. 52 years is the difference. I wasn't zocha to say this mahalach that this yisias mitzrayim balelos. Meaning, I'm so great that you would think that I would have said this. I had to hear from Ben Zoma, but really, it's surprising that I didn't come up with this mahalach myself. He's 18 years old. I mean, as great as he is, he's 18 years old.
He was a Rosh Shiva.
I understand, but still, he's 18 years old, so he has to say, it sounds like a shtickle of a little guy for dick, right? That's what the Maaseh Hashem says. This is what all these Sfarim are asking. If you jump down to the bottom of Masha Amar Belozer ben Azariah, he grew white hair. He wasn't really 70, he was only 18. So Mahaya Hapelo Shalo Zochal Das Drushas Ben Zoma. He didn't know Drushas Ben Zoma. Okay, so there's more to learn. Even when you're 18, even when you're the Rugged Shaver kept learning until he passed away. So he didn't know everything when he was 18. Otherwise, what would he be learning for the next 60 years? Yotmi Yeshenish also Tzadik Yeshabech Atzma Bechachma Vyamar Harini Kibenshiv Mishona. That's what he's saying. I'm Kibenshiv Mishona. So the Maaseh Hashem explains. He doesn't quote this, but I want to quote the Gemara in Tainus. Remember the story of Choni Hamagel? Remember Choni Hamagel? Choni Hamagel was the great tzaddik. And it says as follows, amazing story. It's one of the wild stories. Amar of Yochanan. We're not going to go into every detail of this Agarata. We have to get back to this in the Agarata Shir. Kol Yom HaShol Zot Tzaddik, Mitztala Mikrazeh, Shurab Nav Shurab 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 Shurab. His whole life, he was always bothered by the Pasuk. Shir HaMalos V'Shem Hashem, we're going to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for when He brings us back to Tzion, because we were like dreamers. During the time of Korban Bayis Rishon and Binyan Bayis Sheni, right, it says we were like dreamers. We couldn't We were dreaming about the Beis Hamikdash. And finally, 70, how many years later was it? 70 years later. 70 years later is the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Choni Hamagel says, Omar, Mi ika denayim shivin shnin b'chalma? Is it possible someone to sleep for 70 years in a dream? What does it mean? Hayinu k'chalma, we were 70 years dreaming for 70 years. Yom achar ha'ozav urcha. So one day he was walking on the way. Chazi lahu gavra da'avanat d'charuva. And he sees someone planting a carob tree. He tells him, why are you planting the carob tree? He goes, well, it takes, you know, why shouldn't I plant the carob tree? He goes, you know, it takes 70 years to get the fruit. So he says, so? Maybe I'll be around in 70 years. My father did it. My grandfather planted the tree. I'm going to plant trees too. So Choni Hamagel is walking around, he can't believe it, and then he falls asleep. But how long does he fall asleep for?
70 years.
It's a long sleep. Who else slept for 70 years?
Ribbon,
yeah, so I wonder if who got it from whom?
We know the answer to that.
So the Masei Hashem says, when Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani k'ben shivim shana, says as follows, I do not understand how to run a Seder when I'm in Galus. How do you run a Seder when you're in Galus? Well, those are Chishite Amir. It's not saying a gaiva. It's not saying something but gaiva. I'm like that chevra that went into Golus, and they were unable to. They came up with a halach manya. They were unable to develop a seder. Belailos. What does Belaila always represent? Belailos Golus. Well, those are Chishite Amir. I was not zocha to be able to see the world in such a way that even when things are dark and there's no room for any, I can't see how we're going to get out of this. Problems and the galus and the avdus, because I was not zocha to have a seder without the mourning, without the avelus. I was like that chevra keben shivim shana. I was like the people who went into galus for 70 years. I could only dream about how to do a seder, but I didn't know if we could really have a seder in galus. If you look at the bottom of the Maasei Hashem, you'll have it in front of you. The last line on the first page. I have a feeling, he says. Rebelazar said, I'm like those people during the 70 years of Golos. They were unable to talk about Mitzrayim. They didn't know how to do it. They were Amish Avadim. It wasn't just, you know, we remember they were Avadim. I couldn't see the Ben Chorin. I couldn't see the Shana Babi Yerushalayim. And it says when they came back in Ezra to build the second Beis Hamikdash, in Ezra it says, and they made a Pesach with Simcha Kisimcha Hashem. The implication was that for 7 years they weren't able to make Pesach B'Simcha. They couldn't do B'Simcha. Rabbi Elazar says correctly, he was putting himself not down, he was saying he couldn't do it also. He was like them. He was unable to see the light through the darkness. It was too dark. I mean, he lived in that time, you know, during Korban Bayis, right after Korban Bayis Sheni. And he says, I'm like the guys after Korban Bayis Rishon. I don't know how to do it. For those Zachalim Tzoraya, he was unable to find a source that you see us in Tzoraim can be said Belelos, that we can be Mekayim Mitzvah Sibir Tzoraim, even at night. Ashad Rasha Ben Zoma. Was Ben Zom? Who went up to the paradise?
Ben Azai.
This is the Gemara Chagiga. Arbar nichnasul paradise. You have to hear this Gemara. Arbar nichnasul paradise. There are four people who go up into the paradise. Where's the paradise? I'm not sure. It's somewhere. You know, it's somewhere. The Chida has a tshuva, but he wants to know if they had to say Berachas Agomel when they came down from the paradise. He wants to know. So he says, you think they went up? You think they went on a carpet? They were in a state of meditation. But do you have to say Berachas HaGomel when you're in that level of attachment to the higher worlds? Maybe you have to say HaGomel. It's higher than you go on a plane. It might not be physically higher, but, you know, in that state. So the Gemara says there's Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, whatever he saw something, he died. Hitzetumes. Acher, Kitzetz ben Etios. Keza ben Atiyah is another way of saying he went off the derech and became an apikoris. We know the story with Achia, Elisha ben Avuya. Rabbi Akiva nechnas b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom. He went in the same and he came out the same. What happened with Ben Azai? What did happen with Ben Azai?
Crazy.
Well, it says hitzitz v'nifka. Hitzitz v'nifka. He saw v'nifka. He was amazed. He was broken. He didn't die. He didn't go in and come out the same. He was changed. He was touched. He was hit. The Gemara on the same daf, the next Amar Aleph says, Rabbi Shlomo Hananya was asking certain questions. They wanted to know an answer to a certain deep question, and they turned to Ben Zoma. Maybe Ben Zoma knows the answer. And he says a lashon, Ben Zoma is still there. Ben Zoma, after that experience, Ben Zoma was... He saw the whole world in a different light at that point. It says Ben Zoma, I think the lashon is...
Exactly what I was thinking.
It says? Yeah. Well, one second. Mushroom. Okay, calm. Yeah.
We can all go. Hold.
I want you to see this. Ben Zoma Omer, Sofa Yisi Be Mayim Hal Yonel Mayim Atachtonim. You see where he was? He was. When Hashem was mavdil be mayim lamayim, he's in the middle. He says, and I only see three etzbos there. Okay. Amale had Rabbi Yehoshua the Talmidim. Yehoshua says to Talmidim, Adayim ben Zoma mi bachutz. What does that mean? He's still out there. See, Ben Azai didn't make it back. And Rabbi Akiva, he went in one way and he came out the same way. Nichnas b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom. Acher came out, but he left. And the Zom was really the only one that we know of that went in, and he came out, but he was not the same. And the Gemara calls him, he's still bachutz. Bachutz means that even when you're in the middle of whatever you're in the middle of, right, even when you're in the middle of the Laila and the Gullus and all the bad stuff, he's bachutz. He's there, but he's not there. He's physically there, but he's bachutz. Rabbi Lozman ben Azariah comes along and says, it wasn't gaiva. He says, I'm 70 years old. I'm like the people in those 70 years after Bayis Rishon, between Bayis Rishon, Mesheni, and Golus. They started this paragraph, Halach Manya, and they couldn't pull themselves out. So Rav Lozman Azari says, Harea ani keben shem shana, I'm like those people. V'lo zochisha teyam, he says, I'm about leilos, ashad rosha, tuls, you have to have someone like Ben Zoma, who can see us a different perspective, who can tell us that lehovias ha leilos. Kol yimei chayecha, the word kol means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be able to serve Hashem, and be able to be, have a sipur, he says, besimcha, kol, even in all situations, in all scenarios, even when there's Laila, even when there's Golus, that's what Kol represents, that's what Ben Zoma, and Ben Azariah learns from Ben Zoma how to experience this Mitzrayim b'simcha, even b'alelos, even b'Golus. That's what it means. That's how we start the Haggadah, and right away we start with God, Ben Azariah, to teach us that Ben Zoma teaches us that there's a way to celebrate Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim, even b'simcha, b'alelos. That's one.
Are you saying that Drusha is after he went to the Tardis?
That's that's the suggestion. That's a suggestion.
Is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah known in the Gemara of only learning Pshat?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I would find it hard to believe that was all, they all were. They were all were everywhere, I think. We know that some were more focused on others, right? Rabbi Kiva Malachai Tzal Agoda. So we have certain strengths. I find it hard to believe that they were, only focused on Nigla, but I have to do some more research on that. If you look at your page, this we mentioned a few years ago, a tremendous piece from Simcha Bonami Pshisko.
just a quick question. Yeah. Anything tied into the word coal? Because you learned it from coal. Something I learned last week, Hashem blessed Abram by coal. Can we go somewhere that
probably
he learned it from this concept, coal, that there's a completeness?
I think so. Kol, you know, kol is gemashvi nun. It always represents the mibachutz. Ben zomaz mibachutz. That's like, you know, it's that which is above the natural way of looking at things at this world. So anytime you're in that madreg of nun, it means you have an absolutely full bird's eye view of everything, and therefore you're not going to get caught up with the lila and the gullus. You're able to have it's a ri mibachutz, I think. So I think it definitely relates. We mentioned, let's look at the pasuk. Let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk in Perek Yud is the first pasuk in Parshas Bo. First pasuk in Parshas Bo. Pasuk says as follows. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Bo El Paro. Bo El Paro. Everybody see this on the second page, number one. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Bo El Paro. Kani echbarti eslibo v'slev avodah l'bat yisi o sosai eila bekirbo. Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro. All of the farshim ask, it should be Lech El Paro, not Bo El Paro. And the Sipur comes from here. Vayomer Moshe v'Aaron al Paro, vayomer elav komar Hashem Elokeinu ivrim ad masad me'at elios panai shalach ami v'yavduni. Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they say to him that the God of the Jews said, how long are you going to not humble yourself before me? Send my people and let them serve me. Because if you refuse to send my people, then ni mevi machor arbe begvulecha. Because if you refuse to send my nation tomorrow, I will bring tomorrow arbe begvulecha. I will bring locusts in your gvul. I will bring locusts in your boundaries, in your midst. Everybody see the problem? Let's read it again. Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro, and because I'm hardening his heart, in order so that I can do my miracles in him, and then you should be able to tell your children that which I played around with Mitzrayim. That's the command from Hashem to Moshe. V'yavu Moshe v'yaron al Paro, yomer lov komar Hashem l'kei oivrim, ad masa mi'anta. If you don't send them out, I'm going to bring arba begulach. So Rav Simcha Bunim Mipshischa points out, if you look at Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis, nowhere does it say what Moshe and Aaron should tell Paro.
How do we get from Hidalalti to arba?
How do we get from Baal Paro, kiniach parti aslibo, v'slev avodov, esalalti, then Moshe goes along and says, hineni mevi machor arbe begvulecha. I mean, where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Hineniach parti aslibo. Hashem didn't, if you look at all the other makos, every one, anytime you have, sometimes you don't have it, but anytime you have Hashem telling Moshe what to tell Paro, how to warn Paro, it tells him what he should warn him, what he should tell him. Here it doesn't say. It doesn't tell him what it is. So Rav Simcha Bunim says a tremendous chiddush. He says as follows. You hear? Kasha. First the question is, Lama Lomar Lashon Lech El Paro. Why does it say Lech? It says Bo. Number two, Lama Lo Pirish Lo HaMakash L'Arba. How come he doesn't tell him the Makash L'Arba? So you should know that Shimshon Ashkafala is brought down by the Chassam Sofer, brings this down. Where he says, there actually is a remez to arba in the psukim. Remember the remez? There's a remez to, where's the remez? Bo el paro, we know that there are different letters that are interchangeable. There are lip letters that are interchangeable. Beis, vav, mem, fei are interchangeable letters. Those are, there are five places in the mouth, the lips, the throat, from where the letters come, the teeth. So if the different letters that come from that part of the mouth, that are sound of that part of the mouth, can be interchangeable. So beis is interchangeable with pei, and aleph is interchangeable with ayin. So Hashem says to Moshe, bo, exchange and put in the letters beis aleph into the name paro, take out the pei and take out the ayin, and you have arbe. Let's look at it closely. Bo el paro, pei and beis, ayin and aleph. So then you have beis resh, aleph, hei is arbe. Bo el paro, ki ani shisi o so sai ele. I'm going to put these letters, bikir bo, in him. Bo el paro. So there's a hint to arbe in the psukim. Something, right? Okay. Rav Simcha Burim says as follows. But why is there, there's a hint. Say it mefurish. What's the hint? You give me a hint. Say it. All the other makos on the behedia are clear, explicit. So fine, you find me a hint, but that makes the question even stronger. Why is there, either say it or don't say it. But what's with the hint? What does a hint mean? So we know that we have hints all over the place. We have hints. Matter of fact, Torah Shebaal Peh is hinted to in the Torah, right? There's nothing in Torah Shebaal Peh that you can't find somewhere in the Torah. We know that. When the Vilna Gaon, the last year of his life, he was learning only Chumash. You think he was only learning like Chumash, I worked hard my whole life. Let me just go back to, the basics. He was learning all of Torah Shebaal Peh through the Chumash. It's all in the Torah Shebichsav. Whether it's in a tag or in a nekuda or it's in a kadma v'yazla or it's all in there. So Rav Simcha Bunim says as follows. Hashem says to Moshe, listen carefully. Hashem says to Moshe, listen, I already did 7 malchus myself. I want you to do this one yourself. Pick one. And Hashem gives Moshe the ability to choose his own makom. And it's a remez, the Imre Yemes writes, that it's a remez to Torah Shebaal Peh. We know, that every one of the makos, while it was, on the one hand, at the same time that it was a destruction, it was a makkah for the Egyptians, at the same moment, it was a refuah for the Klal Yisrael. That's what it says, at the end of time, Hashem's going to take off the nartik from the chama, and the tzaddikim will be warmed by it, and the rishon will be judged by it. The same makas choshech, that same one brings light to one and brings darkness to the other. The same yisod, but depending upon which side of the aisle you're on, that determines whether it's going to be a makar or a refuah. Nagof lemitzrayim urafol yisrael. So on the one hand, this is a terrible makkah for Mitzrayim, but we're interested, not fine, they got punished. We're interested, what are we learning from the makkah? So that Rav Simcha Bunim writes, Nira li lomar, shemakas arba lo amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, rak Hashem tziva sheyivchar Moshe ba'atzma eze makkah sheyitze. Makas arba, my kids know this as like a given already. So I was so excited about the Vart. So I said, how many makos? They say, well, 9 that Hashem gave and 1 that Moshe made up himself. Mm. That's makos arba. The 8th makos. The makos that brings us l'mala manateves Torah Shebaal Peh. He says, Rak Hashem tziva sheyivchar Moshe ba'atzmo. Eze makos sheyirtze. V'yapize yuva mehemshech bo'a paro kemilas lech Torah shlichus v'davar mefurash. Yeah? Lech would have meant, I'm telling you what to do, go do it. Bo implies you're on your own. You come yourself to Paro. You come to Paro, and you pick the makkah that you want. It's a makkah shetirtze. It's incredible. Step 1. have a Makas Arba. Hashem doesn't tell Moshe what it is. Why doesn't he tell Moshe? Because he doesn't want to tell Moshe. He wants Moshe to develop it himself. The same way Hashem gives us Torah Shebichsav. That's very clear. And then Hashem says, listen, you have to develop Torah Shebichsav by yourself. Lo Bashamayimi. I want the Chacham to develop Torah Shebichsav. The beginning of that starts with Makas Arba. In the beginning of Parashas Bo. It's a hint. Why do I need a hint? What do you mean? It has to be a hint. There has to be a hint in Torah. There's no Torah Shebichsav that stands on its own. Everything's hinted in Torah Shebichsav. So there's a hint, Bo El Paro. There's a hint, you're gonna find a hint. But it's not gonna be more than that. You have to extract Makas Arba from there. So it's Moshe developing the Torah Shebichsav, which is rooted in the Torah Shebichsav. All you're gonna find maybe sometimes is a hint, maybe a little extraction, a little atbash, a gematria, something, a tag. Bo El Paro. That's Rav Simcha Bunim. The Imri Emes writes again. Rav Simcha Bunim doesn't say this, but Imri Emes writes, this is the Bechina of Torah Shebichsav. You hear how it's here? Arba's beginning of Torah Shebichsav. Let's go a step further. Go a step further. So far, so good. So far, sayable. Sayable. Makas Arba, the eighth Makkah. Believe it or not, Hashem did not tell Moshe what to do. Moshe came up with it himself. That's a type of, it's a hint. It's a setting the stage for the future Torah Shebichsav, where the Chachamim themselves will develop it. The Chachamim themselves will come up with it on their own. It's gonna have we're gonna be able to trace it back, we're gonna be able to show it somewhere in the Torah Shebichsav. It has to be, but it's gonna be the Chacham coming up with it on themselves. That's Makas Arba. The Taurus Moshe, that's the Chassam Sofer, step two, the Chassam Sofer writes that, you have another place where you have two people, and one is clearly playing the role of Torah Shebichsav, one is playing the role of Torah Shebichsav. In Akedas Yitzchak, so he says that Avram Avinu was the Bechina of Torah Shebichsav. Why? Well, who told him to do the Akedah? Hashem. Torah Shebichsav. Hashem tells him what to do, it's Torah Shebichsav. He doesn't have to hear it from some Rav or Rabbi or Masoro or father, he's getting it straight. That's Torah Shebichsav. It says Avram Avinu is the Bechina of the beginning, the source, the Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak goes to the Akedah, they walk together, but Yelchu Shneim, right? Who does Yitzchak hear it from? Hears it from who?
Avram
Avinu. No, hears it from Avram Avinu. Hears it from his. Kachnos binachas achidush avdi v'lachavdu. He asked him.
He says, "He asked him
who's going to
be killed."
I understand, but he hears about the trek from Avram Avinu. He says that's Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Moshe writes, Avram Avinu is Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak is the beginning. That's the beginning of Torah Shebichsav. Look at the Torah Moshe. And it's Yonu Shel Avram. Einam Ore Ella Zuchus Torah Shebichsav. We call it Akedas Yitzchak. Why not call it Akedas Avraham? Akedas Avram, he heard it from Hashem. Okay, shkoyach. Maybe you and I, if we would hear it from Hashem too, we would also do it. But Yitzchak, he's Tarsha Balfei, he didn't hear it from HaKadosh Baruch, he heard it from the Father. Avol kimasabano komash yisivos l'Hashem yisbarach Balfei. Hashem tells him Balfei. That's always a question on Akedah. What was the big nesayim? He heard it from Hashem straight. So, I mean, who, I mean, we don't know what that means, but maybe we would all do the exact same thing if we heard it straight Balfei. But we call it Akedas Yitzchak. Ach, Mesiras Nefesh Yitzchak L'Shmoel Ovel L'Amino. To believe the Father, maybe the Father lost it. You know? To believe the Chachachme Mesorah, the Torah Shebal Peh, Kikein Tzivalo Hashem, Hainu Mesiras Nefesh Al Torah Shebal Peh, Mizeh Ochlem Yisrael Ba'olam Hazeh, I should say.
It wasn't direct that he told him, was it?
That's what the Reif was talking about. Right, but the command to go with him is from Avram Avinu. Whatever he knew was from Avram Avinu. It wasn't from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Torah Shebichsav.
He also had to figure it out from the way that Avram explained it.
Okay, fine. So that's also Torah Shebichsav, right? So either he figured it out himself, or it was from Avram. Either way, it's both Elokim Yirol HaSel, Ola B'nei. So it's even better. It's between looking at the Torah Shebichsav and coming in on your own. It's Mamash Torah Shebichsav.
That's why it was Nisayon by Eitzah, by Avram Avinu. And that's why it's an Akedah by Yitzchak.
What do you mean?
The Nisayon was by Avram Avinu.
Why?
It wasn't his Akedah.
Right, why? Well, why is it? Right, it's Yitzchak's
right definition.
I said, but we call it right. When we refer to the whole event, we could refer to the event of Nisayon Avram. I don't know.
But we do refer to it as one of the Nisayon.
Right, but I'm saying when we drink from the Zchus on Rosh Hashanah for the history of the Jewish people, we're drawing from the Zchus of Akedas Yitzchak. Why?
Because it was faith.
Right. So he says because it's Torah Shebichsav. That's the Indian of Torah Shebichsav. And that's what he writes. He named Reish Havamina the Gadol Nisyono Shel Yisro Mishal Avram.
It's not blind faith in God, though.
No, it's believing in the Chachmei Mesar, and which we're going to call that Torah Shabbat. We're going to call that. You're telling me. So Rabbi Akiva comes along and he makes a gzeira. So you're telling me I should listen to Rabbi Akiva? The answer is that's correct. That's what it means to listen to the Chachmei Mesar. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing it straight from God, but that's what Torah Shabbat is. So what are we saying? Arbe is the what? Is the mak of Torah Shabbat, right? And who is the av of Torah Shabbat? Yitzchak. Let's do a quick mathematic. What is the gematria of Yitzchak?
198.
Almost.
208.
What's the gematria of Arbe?
Take a wild guess.
208.
208.
Same as Hagar.
we go back a long way on that. We go back a long way. Do you know that when the Torah tells Avram, I'm going to give you children, and they're going to be very many. What lashon does he use? Look at the pasuk. V'yadno brisi beinu bencha. V'arbe oscha b'mod ma'od. It's referring to Yitzchak. V'arbe oscha b'mod ma'od. Look at Yoshua Perachov Dalit. Let's read it together. Rabbi Yom Yoshua El Kol Ha'am. Karma Hashem Lokei Yisrael. V'eber Ha'nor. Yeshua will say, "I'm Yom Terach Avi Avram, Vavi Nochav Yavdu Elohim Achirim." Vaakach es Avichem es Avram meever Hanohar veOlech Oso b'chol Eretz Kenan vearbe es Zaro veAtenlo es Yitzchak. That's the Yisod. So Yitzchak and Arbe and Torah Shabbat Peh, and this idea that this Makkah, which brings us to a level that is beyond this world, where we can, Hashem gave Torah Shabbat Ksav and we weren't involved, so that, okay. The fact that we can somehow develop a Torah Shabbat Peh and that become Torah is what lifts us, it's what connects us to the divine. It's not just we're learning Hashem's Torah. We're developing Hashem's Torah. That's what Torah Shabbat is. It's incredible. That's the eighth Makkah. That's the Lamala Menateva Makkah. That's Makkah's Arba. That's Yitzchak.
That's why it says Arba B'Gvulecha.
Oh. Yeah, explain.
Because Arba is Torah Shabbat.
Yes.
It's forever expanding, but B'Gvulecha
that's correct.
Is defined by Torah Shabbat.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. That's exactly right.
This is the reason why it's the eighth one.
Oh, what you said. We just said the eighth one. Because Torah Shabbat Peh is what gives us that ability to personally take part in Hashem's Torah, which lifts us out into the Lamala Menateva.
There's one thing more. Arba B'Gvulecha,
yeah.
Torah Shabbat Peh with Torah Shabbat Peh is infinite.
That's correct.
And so is the number eight.
That's right. That's right. But I'll tell you one more. Let's take one more. So far we have Arba, which Hashem didn't tell Moshe. Moshe develops it on his own. That's a bechina. It's a planting of a type of Torah Shabbat Peh. We said that Yitzchak, the Chassam Sofer, also says it's a bechina of Torah Shabbat Peh, and that he goes to Akedas Yitzchak because he hears it not from Hashem himself. It's not Torah Shabbat Peh. It's believing in the Father, the Navi, the Torah Shabbat Peh. We said the gematria of Arbe and Yitzchak is the same, and we mentioned, as Jay just said, that Arbe it's Torah Shabbat Peh, but it has to stay in the box. It has to always relate, be able to relate back to Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what we're up to. So, Dr. Tzvi.
So when Hashem told Moshe to pick a Makkah, you're saying Moshe intuited Arbe by touching that first pasuk as bow into power.
That's what I'm. That's correct.
Pasuk,
that was the remez he found in the
Torah.
Exactly. But there's another reason. First of all, we're connecting the Torah Shabbat and the Torah Shabbat and Arbe. I don't think there's another makkah. Chumash? Oh, no, we have one. Do we have a chumash? Shmos. Yeah, sorry. I'm not sure if there's another makkah.
You see all the locusts that have been coming in?
Nice. That's yeah, incredible. Is that in?
Unbelievable.
It's, what's the word? It's Inyana de Yoma. Let's look at this. Parshas Bo. Let's read some of the psukim in Parshas Bo. You have to hear this. I'm almost positive that you don't find in the Torah when the makos are being listed that it says that the fourth mak is coming to be mashlim the second, the third mak. You know, Orov is coming to finish off the job that Kenim didn't do? I don't think so. We don't find that Dever is finishing off the job. You know, Shechin, Barad, that's an amazing thing. Barad, right? Barad, the Torah at the end of Parshas Vayera says Barad didn't destroy all the crops. Right? There were some crops, you know, the softer, the more flexible crops were not destroyed. The harder ones were destroyed, and the ones that were the afilos heina, they were able to withstand. Comes makas arbe, right? And what does it say? It says, by the way, I'm going to show you a few things now. It's amazing. Makas arbe. Right? So Moshe comes along and he says, in ma'ena tola shalech sami hinani mevi machar arbe gvolecha. Look what Moshe says. Hashem said, I'm going to bring arbe. Hashem never said it. We learn a piece of Gemara and we come up with a pshat and it tells us. We can say that's not what we're saying. That's what Hashem said. So you tell me that we're telling you that's what Torah Shabbat is. It's an amazing thing. So Moshe says, Hashem says, you say it. Moshe says, and he says, no, I'm not just saying it. It's not me. What I'm saying, Hashem gives us that kayach. I'm saying that Hashem said it. And what's the Arba going to do? The chisa ein haaretz. It's being mashlim the Torah Shebachsav. I'll tell you something else about Arba. It is an incredible thing. It's finishing off seven and it's starting nine. You don't find it anyway. Torah Shebachsav is the link, is the tzion of everything. It finishes off seven. What does it do? And it's also starting Choshech. Arba starts Choshech. Where does it start Choshech? V'chiso sein aretz. But it's more than that. What else does it say? You see the pasuk I'm looking for? First it says,
Lo yichol
aretz. Right? V'yichas sein kol aretz. V'techshach aretz. V'techshach aretz. It's an arba. Wait till Choshech to mechashach aretz. No. Because Torah Shabbat Peh is the link between the Hashlam of Torah Shabbat Chsav and Choshech, which represents, Rav Moshe Shapiro talks about this in the Sefer Mima Makim, from the students, right, from the Shiurim, that Makas Choshech, of course, represents that time when there's, it's the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside for the Tzadikim loss of Lava. And when the Rishayim are in contact with that light, it's called darkness, but it's a blinding light that makes them blind and they can't see. So the Torah Shabbat Peh is the link between the Hashlama and the future. That's what Arba does. But it's more than that. Torah Shabbat Peh, right? What can we say about Torah Shabbat Peh? What's the line that is the most famous line about Torah Shabbat Peh? Ha'kol Nidim Eroi. It all comes from one shepherd, right? But Elu. You can have 50 different positions, 50 different mahalchim, and they're all one. Arbe, how do you say many arbe?
Arbe.
Arbe. How do you say one arbe?
Arbe.
Matter of fact, the Torah itself says it. Lo, vayapoch Hashem et ruach yam chazak ma'od, vayis et ruach yam lo nishar arbe, so this is Torah Shabbat Peh. This is, I mean, it's all here. It's all the ingredients are here. On the one hand, there'll be so much arba, there'll be so much locusts, you won't be able to count them. Chisos ein aretz, millions, billions of arba. And at the same time, the same exact lashon is used, lo nisha arba echot. That's tarsha bal peh. It's that you and I can come up with, you could say asr, and I could say mutter, and he can say chayiv, and he can say potter, and, you know, and Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus can say tahar, and the Chama can say tameh, and we could say elevel derolkim chayim. It's akol nitna miro echad. That's the yesod of makas arba. Yesod of makas arba. The yesod of Torah shebal peh. Yesod of Torah shebal peh. It's also interesting. Again, it's all the same yesod. It's the same yesod. Where, if you look, I don't think you have it in front of you, but Hashem says to Moshe, tell Paro something. You have to figure it out yourself, Moshe. Boel Paro. If I got it from the Chacham Sofer or got it from Shimon Ashtapolar, Moshe Rabbeinu can get it, you know, just can pull it out, right? Not a big deal. So he pulls it out. Moshe says to Paro, Hashem said that if you refuse to send out my nation, I will bring Arba Gvulecha. Look at Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer, listen to the line. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Nite yadcha al Eretz Mitzrayim ba'arba. Do it. I mean, you see what happened? That's Torah Shebal Peh. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, learn, develop my Torah. We go develop the Torah, and we say, this is what Hashem is saying. Hashem comes afterwards and he says, that's what I said. You got it. You hit it on the button. Why does he pick Arba? He picks that Makkah, which, while at the same time there are so many, there are also only one. So it's Daf Garba. And also it's that Gematria of Yitzchak, the Torah Shebal Peh, this entire year so fits into Makkah's Arba, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Shema also.
What?
It relates to Shema.
Yeah.
Because you have Shema where you say God is one, but God is also
everything. Right. That's right. That's
each
right.
One of us.
That's right. He has many names.
Yeah.
He has many names.
Same.
We mentioned in the Tanya Shia once that there was a certain Makubal, I heard this on a Shia from him, who was sitting on a plane next to a nun. So the nun says to him, after they said hello, whatever it was, and he says to him, an American guy, American Rav, and he says, she says, do you believe that one God wrote the Torah, or do you believe that many gods wrote the Torah? So he said, I believe one God wrote the Torah, why would you think that many gods wrote the Torah? So he says, well, you know, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Yudke Vavke, the Yomar Shaka, you know, like you have a lot of different names. So, a lot of different names means probably a lot of different koichos, a lot of different gods. So he said on the spot, he said, well, you know, can I ask you a question? Like, what's your name? So she said, my name is Ruth. And he goes, and what do your children call you? Well, she doesn't have children, right? So what do your friends call you? They call me Ruth. And what do people at the convent call? They call me, you know, sister. And what does your father call you? They like call me, you know, beautiful. Honey. She goes, so you also have many names. Are you many people or are you one person? Depending upon how you relate, there's going to be different names. So I'm Dad. I'm Rebbe. I'm Rabbi. I'm Dovi. I'm David. I'm Yonah David. Depends. Are they calling me up to the Torah? Am I writing a letter to the government? Am I filling out my tax return? Am I Talmidim? My father? I mean, you know. There's some other names that I'm not going to mention that people call me. Okay. That's number two. Everybody have that? We can all have it. Okay. That's good. Good. Let's see. Along the same lines, I think we have it down on the piece here. Oh, you don't have it. Okay. The Shem Yishmol says this. It's not on the page, but the Shem Yishmol says as follows. Again, I'm saying it because it's a different Dvar Torah, but we'll see how it relates. It says in Parshas B'Shalach, when the Jews are by the Yamsuf, so it says that the cloud, which is usually in front of them, went behind them. and it stood between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim. Remember that pasuk? Hashem holech lefnehem yomam b'amud anan. So, from the time that they left Mitzrayim, the Amud Anan was always in front of them. And then comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, right before Kriyas Yamsuf. And it says that the Amud Anan went behind them. I'm going to find that pasuk. Vayavo, Vayisa Malach HaLokim, the Mepharshim say that refers to the Amud Hanan. Went behind them. So Moshe Rabbeinu was there. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "We're going into the sea." Right? And the Amud Anan, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a sense, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messenger to guide the Jews, in a sense is telling them, don't go into the sea, go towards the midstream. I mean, we follow the Anan. Where the Anan goes, that's where we go. See, here we go. Who do you listen to? Do you listen to the Amud Anan that tells me to go Me'acharehem? Or do you go and follow, the Lashon is, do you follow Ben Amram who tells me to go Lefnehem into the sea? I don't know, what's worse? Fighting against the enemy, you know, pick up a stick and, you know, and fight. Fight the Rechev. Or, you know, drown in the ocean. I mean, what it's not exactly clear who to listen to. So the Hashem Yishmol says, this is an example of when it says that the Yesh Koach Biyad Chacham Lakor Dovah Min HaTorah. You hear that? Sometimes Chazal can even take something that's in the Torah and say, we're not going to do this now. And we have to listen to Chazal when they say that. For example, sometimes Chazal will say, you are not going to Sheik Lulav on Sukkot this year. Not Sheik Lulav on Sukkot. Torah says Sheik Lulav on Sukkot. Why would you not Sheik Lulav on Sukkot? Because it's Shabbos. And you are not going to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah this year. But it's Yesh Koach B'Yachav Nakadov Menat Torah. So that's what the Shem Yishmol says. Again, this is the same idea. This is Torah. We're going to, if the Torah Shabbat Chsav says this, and the Torah Shabbat Peh says that, we listen to the Torah Shabbat Peh as being matched on Torah Shabbat Chsav, we listen to the Torah Shabbat Peh, not the Torah Shabbat Chsav. It says, Ein Lanu Ella Divrei Ben Amram, and we're not going to listen to the cloud, we're going to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, and with that they go in and they're saved through Kriyas Yamsuf.
That's what we learned a couple of weeks ago, the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar with Baskol.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yeshua says we don't listen.
That's
to
right. Masculine. That's exactly right. Right. Exactly. Right. And Rabbi Lazar says halacha kedivrei hayachid. Hayachid means
right.
He's the yachid. Halacha kedivrei hayachid. He has a harder time going against the Baskel. Yeah. The Jews in Mitzrayim were very far from where they need to be. Very far from where they need to be. Right, the Rambam writes that when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shmos, I think it's Paragimel, they're going to ask me, who are you that's taking them out? Vamruli Mashmo. They're going to ask me, what's the name of this God that's taking us out? Ma Omar Alehem. What should I tell them? So the Ramban writes a fancy pshat. It almost sounds like a chassidish pshat. He says, what they're going to ask you is, which midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are you going to use in order to take them out? Is it going to be a Yudke Vavke type of Yitzhiyah? Is it going to be a Shin Dalad Yud type of Yitzhiyah? Is it going to be an Elokim type of Yitzhiyah? Is this going to be done B'derech Teva, B'derech Neis Nigla? How are we going to do this? That's what the Ramban says. The Rambam of Morna Vuchim writes, they did not believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. they had lost all contact. They were on the 49th. When you're on the 49th level of Tumah, you're not asking about Elokus and Yud Kei Vav Kei and Shakai. That's not what you're holding. You're holding in the Tumas Mitzrayim, right? So the Rambam says they pushed it. What God? Tell me about this. Tell me about God. So it's clear that through the Makos, as we mentioned before, they were on the one hand Makos for Mitzrayim, but it was also like a relearning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the world. Ba'asara ma'amoros nivra ha'olam. And there was a tremendous kilkel that took place in Mitzrayim. We went to a very low level. And through the Makos, it's kedai to try to to try to match them up, to try to link them. And each one of the makos is there to try to rebuild one of the mamoros. And it's probably fair to say that, well, there's different ways of doing it, but makos, we might go backwards, makos pechoros, because think about it. If it starts with Bereshis Bara, we work all the way our way down to the 10th makos, so then as we're going through the 10 mamoros, so the makos is going to start peeling off the layer of the 10th mimer, and then the 9th mimer, then we're going to work our way back. Okay? So the kinim is when Hashem says that the bishratzim, right? You can imagine how it's going to work. How it's going to work. So, and Bechoros, of course, is going to be Bereshis Baruch here. Right? So they're very low level. We have to retrain the Jewish people, and that's what's happening. We're being retrained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So by the time we leave Egypt, we know that Hashem runs the world. We rewound the whole, you know, the whole 10 mamoros. So what else is there to learn? Why do we have to have Kriyas Yamsuf? It's an old question. Stas Emes says that the whole Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kidu Yatz Mitzrayim means every generation, every year, there's a new way of understanding Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we have to try to figure out something new this year. Something new that we haven't heard, we haven't seen. Not even in a sefer. Something we have to develop. Right? So this is not that. This I saw in a sefer many years ago. But let's see what we can do with it. So listen. So, what do you need, what takes place at Yam Suf that didn't take place in the Makos of Mitzrayim? You had a question.
Yeah,
is there anything different?
Yes.
Yeah?
The participation.
Oh. Okay.
Of one person.
Right, okay. There's a sefer called Divrei Yosef, Yosef Chava, that's, we actually have it in the shul, that says as follows. Along the lines of what Jason is saying, I leave Egypt, we're there, we're in Egypt, we're going to be in Egypt in about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, right? So when we leave Egypt, we know Hashem runs the world. Absolutely. We saw the miracles, and we saw that we were saved. And Hashem runs the world, and he chooses the Jewish people. He gives makos to Mitzrayim, and he saves the Jewish people. But every one of those makos that takes place in Mitzrayim, every one of them takes place on the Mitzrayim, not the Bnei Yisrael. Every one of the makos happens on the Mitzrayim, not the Klal Yisrael. Dam. They get the blood, not me. Tzfardeya, they get the frogs, not me. Kenim, they get the kenim, not Bnei Yisrael. Orov, it goes by them, not by the Hifla. Dever, Shchin, Borod, Arbe, Choshech, and Makos Bechoros all happens on the Mitzrayim. Now, Baruch Hashem, we don't want that. We don't want that. Choshech?
Yeah.
Why?
They were
okay, okay. But the ones who come out have all the Bnei Yisrael haya arba moshva sam. Right? It says very clear they had light. Bnei Yisrael haya arba moshva sam.
You know, Makos Bechoros, they still had to put the thing on the lintel.
Fine, but they
had to do something.
But the maka happens on the Mitzrayim. The way to say it in a certain language is as follows: every maka that happened in Mitzrayim was malam and atev. That's for sure. Right, but the Lamalam and Ateva was on the Mitzrayim, and it was for the Jewish people. You hear it? It was for us, but not on us. So we leave Mitzrayim, and this is what we say: Hashem runs the world, and Hashem destroys our enemies. And I could see Hashem's hand Lamalam and Ateva, but I haven't felt it myself. I want to feel it myself. I want to feel what it is to have a lamalam and ateva in my life. I don't want to just see it. Listen, I don't want that lamalam. I don't want the makas b'choros lamalam and ateva. But I don't know what it feels like to be lifted up in Hashem's lap, in Hashem's hands, lamalam and ateva. So I believe, we started, I didn't believe anything. A year later, we're going to write books. We're going to write Svarim on belief in Hashem, Hashgacha, the Ramban and Parshas Bo, Nisim Nistorim, Nisim Gluyim, the whole thing. But I still don't feel like Hashem is going to do a miracle on me. You know, it's like when you know, when something happens, you say, okay, Gamzul Latova. I don't want Gamzul Latova. I want Tova. I want to feel the Tova now. I don't want to Gamzul Tova in the future. Gamzul every the whole life. You can't live your whole life Gamzul Tova. You have to have some Tova. Otherwise, you know, where's the... So it comes to Kriyas Yom Suf, and the exact opposite happens. Who's left B'teva? The Mitzrayim. And the Jews are left to the Malamad HaTeva. In Mitzrayim, we are left B'teva. Klal Yisrael is in the natural world, nothing. And the Lamala Manateva, then miracle happens on the Mitzrayim. Comes to Kriyas Yom Suf. Oh, it's a whole different ball game. Who walks through Vayasa Nasayam Lacharava? That's the Jewish people. Now it's not Gamzula Tova. This is Tov. This is it. We experienced firsthand what it is to be in Hashem's world of Lamala Manateva. And the Mitzrayim are left in a state of Teva. That's what's added by Kriya Sam. It's not just another miracle. That's why throughout the Haggadah you have it. 10, 50, 40, 200, 50, 250. It's not just a numbers game, and it's a numbers game too. It's not just a numbers game. It's also interesting. Think about it for a second. Can you, everybody here name the 10 Makos? Backwards, forwards, upside down, right? Can anybody here name five, 10, what were the miracles that happened at Yom Suf? I don't know. It doesn't say. I guess, you know, you could pull out a piece of cake from the side. You could see through. There's a few. You know, there was water fountains. You know, it was something. But it doesn't say it. Why doesn't it say it? Because when it's personal like that, you know, when it's us and Hashem on that level, you don't talk about every detail. That's tznius. Yeah, that's private. You want to find out what the miracles were? Look in the mechilta. They tell you all the miracles. Huh? Right, so you know the one, you know the main miracle. But where's the 50? The Rabbi, who says it? Rabbi Akiva was it? Is it Rabbi Akiva says 250? Rabbi Yosef Glidi says 250? I forgot who said 250. Where's the 250? Yeah, that's, you don't have to, that's private. That's between the Kala and the Chassan. That's what happens at Kriyas Yom Suf.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.